Hello, Ken.
Kendra, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great. I'll tell you one thing.
Okay.
Just to get this out of the way, we're recording this Monday night.
Yes.
Last night was Super Bowl Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a performance.
Yes.
That just left a mark on me.
Yeah.
It was thrilling. It was shocking. I had no idea. I could never see it coming in all the wild world.
Do you feel hustled?
I kind of do as your friend, because am I talking about Patrick Mahomes bringing the Chiefs back from, you know, certain defeat?
I've assumed.
No. Am I talking about the halftime show with J-Lo and Shakira?
Yes.
No!
Wait, what?
I'm talking about you sitting down and watching an entire football game. It was amazing!
Thank you, Ken. Thank you so much. I have so many people to thank, mostly J-Lo, actually. She's the person I have to thank.
Something that you want to watch.
I actually love watching the Super Bowl.
No, I know. Yeah, I don't.
I love food
mixed
with event.
Right.
And I actually don't hate football.
Well, I mean, you're hanging out in a room. You can talk. You know, it's
you
just
can
like,
talk.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Well, and also, like, I actually know the rules of football.
Really?
Fun little
Let's hear them all.
Here's every single rule of football. No, but I know I get the whole thing.
Like the downs, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's like I get how many.
No, I just thought it was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah. I'm so happy.
But in all honesty, you know, it was J-Lo and Shakira.
That was bringing the heat. Yeah, and they did.
They really did.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Miami Heat.
They brought the Miami Heat. And the basketball team came out and they were okay. But
just dribbling.
They were just
dribbling
around.
They were like, there's no mask.
Aimlessly. What the heck, Kendra? What was that part? I didn't understand. But.
Speaking of Perry Gilpin.
4 degrees. 3 degrees. 2 degrees.
Of Perry Gilpin.
So we have something that we were going to talk about earlier, and now we're talking about it now.
Yes, that's true.
Sex education.
Sex education. When did you first learn about sex, Kendra?
No. The TV show, Sex Education, season 2 came out on Netflix.
It's especially delightful that we both watch and, I think, love the show.
I really love
because
it.
Because to repeat from past shows, we are both highly repressed.
Very, very,
New Englanders.
Very,
I was going to say Catholics. I'm sorry. You know, I know you're not a Catholic. I'm a Catholic. I know. I know how offended you get with that. No, it's fine. But you're a Calvinist, right? Raised? Strict Calvinist? Isn't that right?
No, I am Calvin and Hobbes, yeah.
Hobbesian. Oh my God. That's something,
yeah, that
right?
Is that is part of the... Yeah, that was why they did it.
Stumbled across that. Mm-hmm. Great. Go ahead.
So this TV show.
This TV show.
It's on Netflix.
Netflix.
It's like British, but also has a lot of American energy.
It's very British.
About in the past.
Because even their interpretation of like how they wanted to do like a sort of an Americanized high school show feels like the British taking on an American high school show.
Well, yeah, but I don't know many other British shows that have that energy.
Well, you would know. That's the only British show I've ever seen.
I would love for someone with some true British elements, but I really do think the British don't want to put, like, teens in TV shows. They know better. You know what I mean? They're like, I don't know.
I also think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this show is in particular a celebration of expression. And that doesn't seem to be what the Brits usually do. But, I mean, you tell me I'm wrong. I don't really know. And I'm not trying to generalize an entire people here.
Yeah, he is.
But... You know, they're kind of stiffs, right?
It is
That's
his
the whole
goal.
Thing.
No, my God, Ken. You're just not watching the right British television.
I know. I'm just trying to get a rise out of you.
I mean, yes, it is all repressed, but it's different, Ken.
It's different.
Okay, so in this, here's some things that stayed the same between season 1 and season 2.
Okay.
Shruti Gatwa, still our favorite character on Earth, playing Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Best character in the whole thing. Can I tell you what I want to go straight to spoilers. What else do you want to say about the show before I spoil it?
Well, okay. I don't... Are there spoilers, you think?
I do.
Okay, you're going to tell us. Can we wait a little bit then?
Okay,
I know you want to go into it. But can you talk about him without spoiling yet?
Oh, no, he's fantastic. It's not a spoiler about him.
Okay, well, because I was going to say he sort of finds himself in a love triangle after being, you know, I don't think that the focus of the first season, you know, it didn't really have him in any sort of relationship in a way. Mm-hmm. I think he was sort of like traversing his internal family sort of and figuring out.
Well, and like having some like just a bullying relationship.
Oh, right. Yes. Which comes back.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that person's involved in this season. I'm talking too much. But he is such a great character that I think that the way they handle him sort of figuring out what exactly he wants is one of the strongest parts of the show.
I think so too.
And that's like, I'm obviously talking around what's going on because I don't really want to spoil it yet, even though Kendra is like drooling
who is waiting
to talk about this.
Yeah, it's true. What is the other character? Who's the main character? What's his name?
Otis. Yes.
I know his real name, so I was having trouble because his real name is Asa.
Asa Butterfield. By the way, if you ever have a chance, look on his IMDb page because his profile pic on that is wild. Especially if you look at his, like how he looks on the show. He's going for something.
I've actually feel like I've seen him in some press stuff in that blazer.
He looks great. But it's a different thing.
Yeah, I am. Otis is in it. We also see a nice evolution of Otis. Evolution.
It's really, it really brings out your skin. I don't know.
I don't get it.
Lotion?
Oh, yeah. It brings out your skin. Gross.
It rips off your skin and you die. You need skin.
But yeah, I didn't. He, last season, I didn't like him.
Yeah, but I think really being influenced.
He loved this show.
I do think that he serves a purpose on this show.
Oh, of course.
And they don't.
Star white boy.
Yeah, sure, but yeah, and that's fair. But I do think that he is supposed to be a very flawed character, as they all are. They're all high school students, but the show doesn't focus on him the whole way. So it's okay that he's kind of annoying and sort of like self-involved because we have all these other characters that we can kind of go to. And in fact, some of the most powerful parts of the show are, I think, him coming to terms with, you know, his flaws.
No, that's what I was going to say is I'm very happy that it took us two seasons to absolutely loathe this boy. And now soon we might think he's okay.
Like, when there's a scene towards the end that really got to me when he finally talks to, has some resolution with Jakob, his mom's lover, boyfriend, ex-boyfriend.
More.
Current plumber. Current lover. One of those.
Yes.
And they have a little, just a quick little conversation that.
By the way, that is the best cast guy ever. He does such a good job just being like, I am sexy plumber who has more to offer. it is remarkable. It is like he says that in the script and you're like, and that is exactly the way he says it. I am sexy plumber, but I have more to offer.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, it sounds like he's a sexy plumber who has more to offer.
I don't want to pretend like I don't do that cute thing where like I want to pretend like I would want to have sex with that man. I'll just be honest. I'm not there on the scale. But he's a sexy man.
It's just very funny because he just has an accent that's just like the whole thing.
But it's
perfect.
Also just his face and eyes and way he talks.
Yeah.
I think I love him. No, he's just a real, and he's such a great.
And he's great with Gillian Anderson.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Gillian
Anderson.
Wait, didn't we find out? She's from the U.S., right?
She's from the U.S.,
she's
but...
She's from Chicago. Didn't
yes,
we do that
but then
research?
She grew up, or at least has spent most of her life in Britain. So she's got a dual
But do we know
on.
What her accent is? We ever listened to an interview, Ken?
I think, yes. Yes, I have. And she has sort of a middle thing.
She's like a sound smart accent. That's the dream.
That's all you want.
Just an accent that just where you go, sounds smart.
Again, we're from New England, so we never had a chance. And I think you know from the first season that our boy Otis is actually dating this man's, Jacob's daughter, Ola. Yeah. Which, honestly, I thought it was a great little show of two kids that sort of like kind of have similar sensibilities in a way, and mm-hmm. kind of like, hey, I guess we make sense, so let's do this. And then like neither one of them wants to admit that they really don't have feelings for the other one because everything else makes sense. Kind of like 90% of relationships, if we're being honest. You know, I'm not bitter. I'm just saying that's kind of how it usually happens, and people just stay in those relationships.
Yeah.
Right?
Whoa, okay. I say a not on board,
I know. What's with that? Just because you're in a loving relationship. Barf. Anyway. What else do we like about this show? I mean,
my favorite thing is all the side characters being the best part of the whole show. And actually, what I was going to say is it doesn't even matter if I don't like Otis, because there's like so many other characters who bring so much more.
There's a sort of moment of there's a, he hits a nadir, you know, at a party where he gets really drunk. This is Otis.
And this is when I almost stopped watching the show forever if I didn't have to record this. By the way, it's episode 6, I think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Are there 8 episodes in this season?
So it would be six. Yeah, because I'm glad you kept watching, because episode 7 is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But first 6, there's a moment, and you're right, because you told me you stopped it at this thing. I got to it, and I stopped it. And I was like, oh, right, she was right. Like, I didn't stop it. Like, oh, Kendra stopped it, I'll stop it. I stopped it and then thought, oh, yeah, Kendra told me she stopped it here. Because he was doing that thing where he's like, he tells everyone at the party to shut up so he can, like, say something.
And the that's whole just thing like just makes me want to vomit. And he already had.
Right? Yeah, and he already had. But he, it actually, I like how they handled that. Because they could have done anything with him there and really, like sold his character down the river, and I like that they had some restraint, because I think it could have been a lot worse in that circumstance.
Can I be honest? I bet I probably didn't even fully watch the whole thing, because
that's fine though. But you get I hated it. Skip that part. Actually, here's a little help for you if you're watching. If it's too hard, go to the next step.
Yeah,
you know,
and just skip like 3 minutes.
If you hit fast forward just until he stops talking and you know falls down or whatever happens, just go to that.
Yeah. Yeah, falling down's key.
Does he fall down anywhere, though?
No, but he stops talking. And that's the real...
That's the key.
That's the answer. Yeah, no, it just... So he pretty much just, like, offends his recent ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
What did we just say?
Ola.
Ola.
Yep.
And then he offends his dream girlfriend, Maeve.
Right.
And...
My one question about the show, because I don't think everything works about the show, but I also don't care, and it's legitimately one of my favorite shows ever.
Really?
Now, yes. I just love it so much.
You need to watch more Teen Wolf. No, I'm
kidding. Oh boy. But I just wonder, the Maeve, Otis, will they, won't they? Does that really make sense?
No, I don't think it does.
Right?
Well, I mean, I think it does a little bit, but...
Because I could see her being like, I've dated some real D-bags.
Yep. Maybe I think long term,
yeah,
possibly not.
But I feel like she could just get like a hotter, nice guy. Like, and he's not even that nice. But honestly, we know he's trying, and that's one of the reasons I liked some of the things that happened towards the end of the season, where he sort of comes to terms with this.
Because I think the issue is, at from what I have seen of him so far, there is no world in which he deserves Maeve, because he isn't actually a nice guy. Well, he consistently does hurtful things to his friends.
I like what Jacob said. I agree with Jacob.
Right, he's a good man.
You know, he said, you're an asshole, but you're a good man. Right. And I agree with that about Otis.
No, but that doesn't matter. Okay, like, sorry. Because if you're...
Whatever Jacob says goes, Kendra,
all right? You're right. Jacob says... Jacob says, it's okay.
It's okay. Okay.
Okay, Jacob said. No, I just think that he's... Like, do I think Otis could become a guy who's worth her time?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. Do I think he currently or in any time in the past has been? Absolutely not.
I also think, I don't blame you for hating Otis. I do think the show does a better job than you kind of let on at explaining why he having to live with his his mom, who's a sex therapist and who analyzes his every moment.
Yeah.
And his dad abandoned him. And they get into that a little bit. And it's sort of matter of fact. And they don't let him off the hook. But there are reasons why he is...
If I did the worst characters in the show.
Okay, yeah.
From the bottom to the top. Yeah. So it'd be the principal. Wait,
are you talking about just villains. Morally? Okay, all right. So
I'm listing the villains of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, wasn't Viv... Is her name Viv or
Bev?
Bev.
Viv or Bev. Oh, I'll look it up.
Because the whole plot line is that her name's mixed up by this one guy.
Yeah.
Oh, who she likes.
He's the worst. Is he your second worst?
Honestly, hadn't thought to put him on the list, but he is definitely
Viv,
low.
Yeah, it's Viv. He calls Viv. Her Bev.
Yeah, bad. Okay, so it goes the principal, who does some truly remarkably abhorrent stuff. This
He's the only true villain of the show.
Yeah, but also, they are trying to make him sympathetic so that they can round out his arc next season, and I can't believe it.
I don't know if they are.
I think everyone is shown full circle.
I hope they don't do that. I mean, they don't.
You don't need to. I'm okay with him being a villain.
I do. No, I think that they give him shades, but I mean, and he looks cool in them. No, they like his character.
He does not look cool.
We kind of understand that they even say he's afraid to lose it, so he just acts an asshole, and that happens to a lot of people. But I don't think they're gonna go further than that with him. I just think he's a villain.
Yeah.
I mean, they have him do an abhorrent act in this thing.
In this season, he does something...
He really takes a step up. I gotta say.
He really steps up as being I gotta be a villain? Okay.
All right. Oh.
I got something to show everybody. Yep. Private notes. An illegal act.
Oh, God.
So, by the way, also, I will say, it was a brilliant turn. So, we're getting into spoiler territory now. So the principal, he takes, Otis's mother, the sex therapist, is asked by the head person at all, the school system.
There's some sort of committee
superintendent,
and
she, right.
Yep.
She's brought in by the superintendent to be to check in on what the sex ed program is and to do whatever. And instead she generally ends up talking with these students about their own sex lives, even though that's not supposedly what her mission was supposed to be.
I mean, in some ways, she was wrong how she handled it.
I agree.
Had one-on-one sessions with the students. That's not exactly what she was brought there to do.
Right.
She used it to get material.
Potentially for a book. I thought that was really bad.
Yep.
But she's not off the villain list, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but I mean, we all love her.
Jakob's at the top. Let's be clear.
Right.
I mean, not as a villain, as a hero. The hero of the whole thing.
He is good.
It's so funny. I don't even have that many positive feelings about Jakob.
What? Why not?
But I mean,
I'm
just saying he's not actually at the top. I just feel bad that...
He just wanted to build that pan shelf. What's the problem?
It's your pan shelf. It's not even... correct at all. He's always monotone. That's what makes him.
No,
so
he's
great.
A bit much. He really inserts himself in
God.
Her house.
Yeah.
And we can kind of see.
But also, can you believe, by the way, I hope that everyone at this point has just watched the fucking show, because
watch the
us
show.
Talking about this like this is just only makes sense if you've watched it. But it is remarkable that a sex therapist would not just a therapist in general,
mm-hmm.
someone who I think one of the main points would be bringing forward your concerns.
Yes.
Would not be like, hey, by the way, I'm feeling a little your stuff's all around. And what's a way that you could fix this? You need a shelf somewhere? It is insane that someone who does that for work would not be like, oh, every time I see his pennies around, I want to murder him.
I know. I think it's easier in practice than it is in a theory than in practice. Because
you're right.
When
it is
in a relationship.
Practice.
Well, when she's if you're in a relationship with someone, you sort of, if you can step outside of it, you have all the answers. But in there, you're in a fog.
I think you can still
and
say.
She's blowing that air horn and she's getting nothing back, you know?
I think it would have been very simple to have a nice conversation when no one was mad about, I don't want your stuff, your big man stuff everywhere.
Your big man stuff anywhere?
You know, I think it would have been a good conversation to have any time earlier than when they were screaming at each other. Just a 101.
Yeah.
I hate to give relationship advice to the sex therapist, but here we are.
Well, And she's not very good with her son either. But I mean, but making, yeah, right.
She's not off the villain list.
So
then the principal goes and takes her notes and puts them all over the school, makes photocopies. One episode ends with him over the photocopier, and I was like, well, there's no way he's going to post these about the school, although that would be the classic trope, because that is like a very classic high school concept, which is just like something private made public ruins whole everyone.
Just not by the principal, usually.
Usually not by the principal, which is good.
Right, yeah, no.
Highly recommend.
You hope the adult in charge isn't the adult in charge.
I'm going to make some photocopies. Yeah. But I thought that was nice because you do see that in many, I'm thinking Mean Girls.
I
believe in Cinderella's story, there is something about a publicized something.
I don't know. I mean, like,
there's always
like
a diary.
It's based off of sort of high school movies in a way. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was sort of a forced way to kind of move things along, especially with how that ends up informing indirectly Otis's mom, that he's been actually performing like therapy, or he's been helping kids out
for money
at school. So she ends up finding through this way, but it was a little
her being upset with him about doing that when like she was about to make money off doing this thing for free by selling a book, which would be way worse than.
I think
you can't do a book when you haven't gotten consent from these minors.
I think she was more hurt that he had kept that from her.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I think she was also jealous that he had had some of that, like he had gotten through to some of the kids, and I mean, I don't know, in some way, but so you look at the principal, right? Obvious villain. The way that they dive into his wife and her life in this season, and the way that they progress.
She's at the top of the saint list.
Yeah. His son, who was a monster in the first season. I was actually going to ask you, like, what did you think of him this season?
Honestly, I appreciated it. I thought he was good, and also he always was clearly on his path to no longer being a villain.
They did that last season.
Like, they were always showing all of his sides, I think.
And you can tell, and I think...
And it was very clear there was a ton of abuse and trauma. But I also think it's very different coming from a kid who's, like, 17.
Mm-hmm.
In this storyline, like a young kid versus like someone older. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm less lenient when it's not the storyline of.
Oh yeah, right. And I just think, I really actually think that I think there's a lot of great acting in the show, but I really like what that kid did in this season.
Me too.
It's sort of monotone, but he's like this closed off person now that's trying to find a way out. And it's funny because he's in the first season, if you haven't seen it, and you should really watch the show, it's great. He really was the villain. He really was the monster,
but with a nice little twist.
Nice little twist. But in a lot of ways, he's more sympathetic than Otis in a lot of ways, and I think that's what I like when Jacob says, like, you're an asshole, but you're also a good man. It's like we have to acknowledge that this Otis guy is like, we just see him trying to figure out everything because we're with him a lot, and like he's trying, but
I know what you mean, because I think one of the issues is you see how much like the other kid, what is his name?
Adam Groff. They call
Adam
him Groff.
Groff.
Yeah.
Groff.
Well, we haven't even talked. So, not sorry to keep going. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Wait, but I was just going to say.
I'm sorry.
Adam Groff. Groff. It's very clear that he's trying to figure stuff out and can't even start to wrap his head around it, mostly because of who his father is and like a lot of the just like anger and pressure he has, and like him being interested in someone like Eric and like really wanting Eric, I think is really clear of him being like, that's someone who has like joy in their life.
Yep.
And like, what?
Who is a real exp- expression of their true selves, which is like a beautiful
thing, you know? And is the exact reason why he is, I think, the star of the show. And like,
absolutely.
Like, just because he just, it feels so, like, it's just watching someone who's happy and like joyful.
He's great. And honestly, and he's amazing, and we all love him and we love his character, but he's not free of some questionable acts too. He's trying to figure it out, and he's a young kid. And
Wait. Okay. What did you want to revert back to? Because then I think we should get into what was the true finale with the Romeo and Juliet.
I want to get to the second to last episode too. But real quick, I was just kidding. We didn't even get to Jackson and his mom's. And this is a star athlete who ends up hurting himself because he feels too much pressure. I thought that storyline was handled really well.
It was really great.
There's just a lot of...
And him and... Oh, my God.
Yes.
Him and Viv. I'm loving where that's heading.
Amazing.
I love it. Okay, we're going to have a quick commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. Yeah, I was very happy to see... God, what is his name again?
Jackson,
yeah.
I looked it up right now.
Yeah, Jackson and his mom's...
Mm-hmm.
And his relationship with his mom's, specifically his like very pressure-filled mom. She's going to be on the villain list, and I know they tried to recover her, but it's still...
No, but I like that they... I like where they went with it.
Me too.
He has two moms, and I believe one of them... He's black, and his mom, his like biological mom is there, and then his other mom is white. And they sort of... She's the one that puts a lot of pressure on him to be like this... great athlete, and there's like a lot of like weird racial undercurrents with that.
Mm-hmm.
So they never quite touch, but they kind of navigate, and I think a great way. And then finally there's sort of an explosion, and basically they just come out and say, and we're doing spoilers now, right? It's mm-hmm. like you know, because you know, he finally just says, you're just insecure because you think I won't love you as much because you're obviously not my real mom.
Yeah,
like it's obvious, you know. And then they sort of have a talk after that, but it's, I just thought that was handled really well, and it's not a main storyline, but it was given a fair amount of time, and
and he hurts himself
to
avoid being kind of like put into this like pressure filled cycle that he's found himself in because of his mom and because of the sport that he's in.
Yeah,
and the character Viv, who is great, and I was so happy with who they invited into that, because like I think sex education is like this, like it's like layers mm-hmm. of an orb, and like
ooh, a layered orb.
And I don't know where that fully came from. Maybe I've also just recently watched Sabrina, and there's some orb stuff going on there. But yeah, so like, you know, it's, you got like Otis and like the main crew,
mm-hmm.
and then you have like those secondary characters. But then you have those tertiary characters, and I feel like each season they turn the secondary character. I feel like it's just going to keep happening where it's like, I think she's going to get more.
I hope so.
Time. I hope so too.
Well, she had more time, and she actually had more time than I thought that they were going to give her.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, that second to last episode, which comes as a result of the principal posting all these things, and I'm sorry?
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking about how angry it makes me.
Yeah, and then through those notes, someone writes a horrible thing about one of the teachers, and for some reason, and I don't think this really made sense, but I love the episode, so
also,
it didn't
like,
matter.
But like the way the guilt was placed was
they
very...
were like, you seven girls, one of you did it. Get into a room, you know, sort of Breakfast Club style, and, you know, start, you know...
Great use of multi-levels, just like Breakfast Club.
Yep, all
that
stuff.
Honestly, part of me wonders that if Breakfast Club had been filmed in a one-story building, would it have hit?
No.
It's like, if there had been no stairs in that library, everyone would have been like, it was an okay movie.
I know you like a leveled thing. You like the Brits, upper level, lower level, you know?
Oh my God, upstairs, downstairs,
also,
upstairs,
and
downstairs.
Just a little hint of what we might be talking about later in the episode, although not too much later because we're already in it. Parasite. Excellent mm-hmm. use of that in the movie Parasite. But I was just going to say, that episode where they kind of ham-fistedly throw these girls in as the main suspects for this, even though most of mm-hmm. them would never do that. In the end, they're asked to find out if they have anything in common. And I actually really love how the episode played out. It was really, you know, sad and poignant that the thing that they realized they all had in common was, you know, being marginalized or abused or whatever by men. That was their one thing. And it was really great. And there was an ending to that show that I spoiled for Kendra because it really...
Oh, it didn't hurt it at all.
Killed me. But I know. But I wish, you know, I kind of like said like, this thing happened. Oh my God. Thinking that she had seen it. And she was like, I think you're ahead of me. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I was like, I never got past that horrible scene.
Yeah, the Otis speech.
I'm still on the other side of that speech.
But okay. So sorry. That was the second last episode. We were really spoiled. But like that last episode, you wanted to get to that. So.
Yeah. There's just a very funny, as someone who now at this point has watched two musical versions of Romeo and Juliet in different teen shows, the Fosters did it.
Oh, okay. All right.
The Fosters did it much, I'm going to go ahead and say better.
What?
But can I tell you the craziest part?
This was amazing.
Both of them did it in like future world.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
Do you think Sex Education stole out of the Fosters?
No, there weren't as many dicks in.
Oh.
But very crazy. Also, the music's much better in the Fosters one because one of the characters in the Fosters is like a musician, and so he like composes the whole thing, and so it's still not as good as if someone but it's all done through the thing of like, and a prodigy made this, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Which is better than like, that was insane. It was great because we've been seeing all these amazing performances from all these actors, and like, no matter what, if you're watching a TV show, like, you do understand it is a TV show and that these people are acting. So it is really lovely to see a badly done play. You know, like,
yes.
I mean, not that it was I will say the budget was high, just like Netflix. Like, the budget was expensive. They had like tinfoil vaginas. They had not even tinfoil. That's the thing. What? These weren't made out of tinfoil. This was like,
I was going to say that would not be expensive.
No, it was high
quality. I can get
you quality.
Some of those very cheap.
They were high quality, hand sewn. The costumes were amazing, but it's this really like lewd, like vagina, penis space, Romeo and Juliet musical. So it was about as insane as that would be.
It was.
But also no one's that good at acting. It feels really awkward. Multiple interruptions happen. It's just not a good play. And I liked that.
Okay, but you were going to defend Eric completely.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, I wasn't like, go for it, but he was in an impossible situation.
Sure, but he did publicly embarrass his current boyfriend at the time.
I don't think anyone knows where anyone's at. I think that's the thing that, I mean, the saddest part, so Adam Groff, who gave him a blowjob, like, at the end of the first season.
Yeah, he did.
And I think it's clear, like, really loves him, but can't figure out what the fuck to do about it.
And he had, earlier in the season, they had hung out a few times.
Yeah.
And it was actually very sweet. Kind of invited him into his own little,
destruction cave.
Yeah.
And, which then became everyone's destruction
cave. Yeah, he then invited some of the girls there. Oh, wait. He invited Ola there.
And then Ola brought everyone else.
Yep.
Which is the classic case of, don't show anyone anything.
Yeah.
They will ruin it for you.
Yeah, now it's just overrun.
Well, now there's, like, nothing left to destroy.
I know. Yeah.
But it's, like, kind of like a dump, and they just hit things with bats, which...
Kendra, I do agree with you. Women do ruin everything.
Oh, my God. Not my takeaway. No, I'm just saying, you know, you show someone a great space. Next thing you know, it's on Instagram.
Kendra, I do agree with you. Boys clubs should remain boys clubs.
Oh, my God. What?
So I said earlier this is one of my favorite shows, and you acted shocked. Do you not like it as much as
No,
me?
I love it. I think it's beautiful. I have to say, I still just love like the colors in it, the vibrancy.
Absolutely.
Wales.
I love that we talked about this before.
It was filmed in Wales.
The music, they just released the soundtrack, and it's not... The soundtrack's all Ezra Furman, and I love them. But they also have other music in there, and it's all very well chosen, and it's great.
Yeah.
It goes so great. So,
it's really good.
But it's part of the vibe of the show. Good stuff.
It's a very bright, colorful, fun show. Oh, and Otis learns not to be a dick at the very end,
right.
Which is just like, I'm like, ooh, just like one whole season too late.
And this is, I also think it has a billion ideas and like 999 million work. Like, that's what I love about it. Because there's things like it, like, I'll just say things like the whole Maeve's mom thing. Unnecessary, I think. Like, things like, certain things like that where I'm like, I don't...
What about Maeve's new boyfriend?
I'm very angry with him.
I was not that pleased, especially because I don't think... So he deletes a voicemail.
Yeah.
That the whole point is, like, that's when Otis is saying, like,
yep.
I love you. It was you. It was always you. Which, like, I can't believe that isn't copyrighted to someone else. Like, could someone copyright that so that we don't have to hear it anymore? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I have heard, it was you. It was always you, like, 72 times in films.
I do like that they did it in, but their ultimate ending for that was trash. Like, it was just trashed. Like, he, like, when he did it, it was almost this grand moment, and it never received.
I like that too. But you know, also, but, it's a classic TV show.
I know, right.
They need you back next season.
No, yeah.
But then the kid.
with the handicapped kid as our villain.
Yeah, that was the part that I really was just like.
But honestly, I understood his motivation. He's seen this kid as a. A literally callow jerk who doesn't deserve this girl, and he's also like, I'm getting along with her, and like,
right, she's coming over to make me eggs.
Yeah, eliminate the competition, I say.
Yeah, I mean, it just clearly won't work out long term in any capacity. I mean,
why do you say that?
Well, I mean, like, that voicemail, like, someone's gonna say, like, hey,
hey, did you get that voicemail? Yeah. Otis sent you?
Hey, do you love me back? What are you talking about? Oh, when I said it was you, it was always you, even though that's been used in 72 films already?
He said it with oomph, though. I was just thinking all's fair in love and war. Whoever said that's a sociopath, right? Do we all agree on that?
Yeah. Like, no.
Disagree. Hard disagree on that one.
Also, like, nothing...
Like, less things are fair. Less things are fair in love. And then, like, say all things are fair in war, and that's also psychotic.
Right, it's bad. It's bad. Both are bad. But like, to say it was you, it was always you, psychotic.
Right. Oh, I know. I've said that too many times.
It was never you. It was never you.
Kendra, I feel exposed now.
No, I.
Kendra, as far as podcast partners, it was you. It was always you.
Thanks, Kendra. Me looking at someone lived here.
No. Oh.
I'm just kidding.
That was...
Sorry, some bleak shit.
We've really talked about this.
Okay, so we're going to now just... Ken's going to give us a quick little prep for the Oscars.
It's going to be real quick now because we've really gone on for a while. But
and what do you think my sweet potatoes are doing?
Almost
probably
getting
blistering.
No, it seems like it's going to be a really especially boring show. And they've kind of turned the corner looking like 1917 is the... favorite to win Best Picture and Best Director, and all the acting categories are pretty much locked. It seems like it's gonna be Brad Pitt and Laura Dern and Renee Zellweger and Joaquin Phoenix winning all those. And then I thought maybe there'd be some interest in the screenplay, and Parasite might win original screenplay, and it might have a chance of being like the shocker for Best Picture. It just doesn't look like it. And even the one I was holding on to, which is Little Women winning for Best Adapted Screenplay. Jojo Rabbit just won the WGA, the Writers Guild.
Like, did anyone even know that that was a book first?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think anyone did. I actually asked some people. No one knew. But there were people on the street and they didn't care and they yelled at me. But I don't know. I mean, I was just thinking, I actually did, I was going to go through my rankings of the Best Picture nominees. I'll just say this. There's a bottom two, but there's really a bottom one, and it's Joker. But the second to last would be Jojo Rabbit. Other than that, all the other films are kind of deserving. It's just sort of boring for 1917 to win. I'd rather see Little Women win, or Parasite, or even Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, or The Irishman, or Marriage Story. They're all better. I just saw Ford versus Ferrari. What a dad movie, but so well done. You know, just
sometimes the highest quality of dad movies.
It was really good. But yeah, but anyway, I said all that. It's going to be boring, but I can't wait. You know, it's my favorite night of the year.
Wow.
Oscars night. Man.
I'm so excited for you. Right, I'll be there.
I know. Oh, man. Okay.
Well, our connection to Perry Gilpin is also Gillian Anderson. We did it last time.
Yep.
If you're interested in it, go back and listen to our sex education, our last sex education episode that happened a year ago.
Listen to those. This one, that one, and then this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, a little, because to get to this point, you probably heard this one all the way through. Go back, listen to that one, and then listen to this one again.
And then three more times.
We need those listens.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Bye, guys. Bye.